Coming up on episode number 323, I get a chance to sit down and talk with Jimmy Gutterman, who is coming out, or just came out, with a brand new double CD that pays homage to one of, I think, the best Clash albums out there. Okay, London Calling may be their best album, but this one for me runs a very close second. It's the triple album Sandinista. His new album is The Sandinista Project, and we'll hear all about it coming up right now on Coverville.
Just getting tougher, whole world is rough, it's just getting rougher, cover me, come on baby, cover me. Well, I'm looking for a hoo-hoo, come on in and cover me.
Greetings from Coverville for a Thursday night. It's May 17th, 2007. My name is Brian Ibbett, and welcome to another edition of the show. Tonight, we've got an interview with Jimmy Gutterman, and we'll just jump right into it right now. Our guest tonight is the man who took on the daunting task of assembling 36 bands for a brand new tribute to The Clash's 1980 triple album, Sandinista. It's called The Sandinista Project, and it's available now. Please welcome Jimmy Gutterman.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. First of all, am I pronouncing it right? Is it Gutterman?
Let's go with Gutterman.
Gutterman. Okay. tell me how you conceived the project. I mean, first of all, when did you conceive the project? This has been in the making for a while, hasn't it?
It was about 4 years ago.
Wow.
I was listening to Sandinista at work, which, of course, suggests that there's a problem already. and I was just thinking about how much I loved the record and how it's really sort of a much maligned record. I mean, they had the misfortune of that being the record they put out after, you know, one of the half dozen greatest records of all time, London Calling. And I think people sort of compare it. And, you know, one of the problems with a once-in-a-lifetime record is you only get one of them. But I have always really sort of been taken by the craziness of the record and, you know, the audacity of it. I remember when it first came out, just sort of being taken aback by the package, just sort of the enormity of it. Mm-hmm. But it is a much maligned record. You know, there's all talk, oh, it would have been a good double album or a good single album, or
right.
You know, Joe Strummer once joked that it would have been a good EP.
really stripping it down.
Right, and I am, you know, I think that the bigness and craziness of it is inextricable from its greatness. You know, the things about it that make some of the things on side five and side six unlistenable are also the things that sort of make it great. And I was trying to figure out what I could do about that to do some sort of evangelical work on its behalf. And, you know, I started writing something and it didn't really work. And I've never been a big fan of tribute albums. I think that they are, you know, because there are so many people involved in so many different conditions, it's inevitable that it's going to be a mess. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got something that's a mess to start off with. I figured it would be a perfect combination. And, 4 years later, I got 36 bands to work for free. And here we are.
That's awesome. And yeah, I mean, the original album was such a mix of genres already. I mean, they had gospel, they had rap, they had dub, a children's group singing career opportunities.
Yeah, the piano players' kids are the singers there.
Right.
And we tried to go even sort of crazier with that. I mean, there are some tracks on the record that are actually pretty close to the original arrangements, but there are also a number that are very far afield. You know, there are some that are sort of in the style of, you know, Merle Haggard. There's one track where most of the instruments are theremins. We have some real rock and roll on it. I mean, you know, we've got the Smithereens and Willie Nile and Joe Grushecki, but we also tried to kind of be, as part of paying tribute to this record that we love, we thought it would make sense to not be too reverent.
Mm-hmm.
For example, our version of career opportunities, rather than having children, is adults pretending to be children.
much more acceptable, I guess.
Right. I can confirm that no children were actually injured in the making of this record.
Very good. Yeah. Well, I was. I think the track that stood out for me on the first listen was the Hitsville, UK cover by Katrina Leskinich from Katrina and the Waves.
It's wonderful. I've known her for 100 years, and I invited her to do that track sort of as a joke, mm-hmm. because Hitsville, UK has the same You Can't Hurry Love bass line as, you know, her great hit Walking on Sunshine. So right. I figured she'd already know the part. And then she sort of came back with this sort of great hard rock version, which was nothing like I expected.
Well, this seems like as good a place as any to interrupt the interview right now. We're going to go to the aforementioned song. Here's Hitsville, UK by Katrina Leskinich.
They cried the tears, they shed the fears. Up and down the land, they stole.
The whole experience producing the record was like that for me, mm-hmm. that I was continually surprised pleasantly by, you know, how great the imaginations of these performers are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you took on, is this your first tribute CD? I mean, is the first CD you've produced, or have you produced CDs before?
I've produced, you know, dozens and dozens of reissue CDs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the joke I used to make was that it's much easier dealing with, you know, dead performers than than live ones. You know, Robert Johnson isn't going to complain to me about the sequencing.
Right.
But, oh, what a pleasure, you know. Bring on the live people.
There you go. Exactly. You can shape them or shape the sounds and mold them a little bit better. So taking on the daunting task of picking a triple album for a tribute, that's quite a leap. You know, out of the frying pan into the fire, or a baptism by fire, I guess is the more accurate term.
Yeah, well, it could have been worse. You know, I could have picked Chicago Live at Carnegie Hall. You know, that's four records. Although I have a hunch that would have been a significantly more painful experience.
Right.
Although, you know, there's so many triple albums. You know, what should we do next? We should do, Yes Songs, or...
There you go. Genesis Three Sides Live, or... Well, I guess that was a double
right, or what's the ELP one? We should do prog rock one. You welcome back my friends to the show that never ends, or...
There you go.
Didn't Frank Sinatra have a three-record set?
Oh, I'm sure. One of the
Trilogy. Yeah, it was called Trilogy. Mm-hmm. Prince had one. Prince probably has had five of them.
He probably has Bootleg and...
No, he had one. He had Emancipation in the mid-90s.
Oh, right, right. Well, there you go. There's your next project.
No. The once was enough. Thank you very much.
Now, how did you go about picking... So obviously, you knew Katrina for a while, Willie Nile, the Smithereens. How did you go about picking some of the artists for the lesser-known tracks? How did...
Well, it was a mixture. I mean, some are people who I knew. I mean, I knew that Willie Nile was going to knock Police on My Back out of the park. You know, mm-hmm. So there were, you know, some like that. There were some that... it's people whose work I had admired and... You know, worked my way to get to them. Like, I didn't know Stu, who did Broadway on this, but I knew someone who knew Stu and whatever, and we were able to work through on that. Also, I had, when, in 04, when I decided that I'm really going to do this, because in 03 I had the idea, went to a bunch of labels, and they all told me with varying levels of politeness to get lost. So I sort of let it drop for a couple months. But the performers said, you know, you got to do this. It's a, you know, their response was almost always... when I would suggest it to him, this is the stupidest idea I've ever heard in my life. Then there'd be a short pause, and then they'd say something like, I want in. And so, you know, in 04, when I decided I really am going to do this, I put up sort of a project blog page, and a couple people found me that way. Hmm. You know, I didn't know everyone before this started. And then it was just one of these things where I was introduced, you know, some band was on it and they introduced me to someone else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a very sort of community atmosphere.
It just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If it takes 4 years, it's a pretty slow snowball. The world's slowest avalanche.
That's right. Great. Well, let's talk about a few standout tracks. I'd like to play a couple on the show here, just to kind of get.
They're all standouts.
Well, yeah, okay. I guess that's the diplomatic. I love all my children.
There are 37. There are 37 standouts. I've got three kids. I'm not going to tell you which one is my favorite. I don't have one.
Well, I'm going to jump in here again with another track from the Sandinista Project. Here's Willie Nile with his take on "Police on My Back."
I've been running. down the road came a jungle partner. The boy was loaded as he can be. He was knocked out, knocked out loaded. He was wobbling all over the street, singing 6 months ain't no sentence. Yet I'm 1 year ain't no time. I was born in Angola, serving 40 to 99. Well, I wish I had me $1 million. Raise me,
I would raise
say, me. Grow for me, baby.
Grow for me, baby.
Raise me as a tobacco farm. Take a walk, take a walk.
Take a walk, take a walk.
A jungle partner.
Police on My Back is definitely for me a standout track. I was surprised at how much I really like Junko Partner by John Langford and Sally Timms.
Yeah, and you know what we did on that is we wanted to kind of play around conceptually that, you know, anyone who's a fan of the original record and has actually made it all the way through knows that buried on side six, when, you know, they're basically putting anything on at that point, they actually have a dub version of that song called Version Partner. And so the way that we did this is we've got John Langford singing the song on side one, and then Sally Timms, his partner from the Mekons and other records, sort of headlining the dub. And I think of it as the two of them at two ends of the records, because I think one is three tracks in and then one is three tracks from the end.
That's right.
They're sort of waving at each other across the length of the record.
Yeah, and the other thing that surprised me was how much more even, you know, for a tribute album with different bands performing different songs, This album seems much more even than Sandinista, than the original. You know.
I'm actually not sure that's a compliment.
I think it is.
but I'm not sure that it is, because I think one of the things that's great about the original Sandinista is that you would have one of the greatest songs you ever heard followed by something that, shall we say, was not one of the greatest songs you ever heard. You know, there were, how do I put this? You know, we have 36 performers on this, but there were a lot more than 36 performers who I talked to, or 36 performers who were interested in this. And, you know, we wanted to keep the quality high. Mm-hmm. You know, there was sort of a, there was a story I wanted to tell. And, you know, in a lot of ways, being a producer of a record like this is sort of like being, I don't know, like a casting agent or something like mm-hmm. that I had to see who would fit best in each role.
Sure.
I think for the most part, we got it.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic album. I definitely give it a very high rating, a very high recommendation to everybody listening to go pick it up. And as a taste, we'll be featuring a couple songs on the show. But of course, you need to go out there and pick up the whole thing to get the whole, to see the whole picture. So, well, Jimmy,
absolutely. If you only listen to 36 of the 37 tracks on it, you're missing something.
Very good. Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for taking the time here to talk with us here at Coverville. I really appreciate
my great
it.
Pleasure.
And what's next for you before I let you go?
What's
the horizon
next for me? The laundry is what's next for me. What's next for me in terms of what is next for me? I am about halfway through a novel about the pop music industry.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if halfway through means 6 months away from the end, 12 months away from the end, or 36 months away from the end. Projects tend to take longer than you think, he said, thinking about the first conversation he had with Joe Grushecki in the spring of 2003. They said, come on, we'll just, you know, it'll take a couple months. It won't be a big deal. So that's my next project.
Wow, cool. So you're a writer too. Excellent.
Yeah. I've written a bunch of books about pop music.
Well, I'm going to have to look for those as well, because I love what you did on here and seeing your
thanks.
Words on
you can,
the
you can go to you can go to gutterman.com, one T in Gutterman, and you'll find significantly more about me than you'd ever want to know.
Terrific. I'll put a link in the show notes so people can go check that out and even check out the blog that accompanied the Sandinista project. I read it this morning as well as a couple months ago when I first heard about the release, and it's been a very interesting project to follow. So it's inspired me to even pursue doing a tribute album for Coverville, which is going to be which is going to be based on Spinal Tap.
Well, you know, there are a lot of, there are a lot of songs on Cups and Cakes that never really got the attention they deserved, and you know, here's your chance.
Yes, right. Unearth those those great ones. Great. Well, Jimmy Gutterman, thank you so much for taking the time here at Coverville to talk to us. And like you said, I highly recommend the album. I give it to borrow from my favorite movie reviewers, I give it 2 thumbs up. It's fantastic.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. And with that, we'll bring this episode of Coverville to a close. Thanks again to Jimmy Gutterman for coming on the show and talking about the Sandinista Project, which you can pick up right now at Amazon.com for $13.99. Hey, that's a double CD for $13.99, so it's definitely something worth checking out. I'll put a link in the show notes that'll take you right to the Amazon.com page where you can pick that up, as well as a link to Jimmy's blog and the Sandinista blog where you can kind of look at the history of this project. And and if you want to get in touch with me about this or any other show, you can do it by emailing me at coverville@gmail.com. You can call the request line 206-222-COVER or post a message on the weblog at www.coverville.com. Well, thanks again. We'll be back on Sunday night with another All Request show. Until then, this is Brian Abbott saying that just about covers it for tonight. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye. Coverville is a proud member of the Backbeat Media Podcast Network. Bandwidth for Coverville? Yeah, you got it. It's provided by CacheFly, CacheFly, cachefly.com.